Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth broadcast coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is Brother Fawn Miller, director of Way of Truth Ministries, and delighted to be the speaker on this broadcast. It is our prayer that this program, this message, might reach into your heart and life and be an encouragement to you who are saved, and be that which would bring you to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you are not saved, you are a welcome guest to our program, and we're delighted that you're there. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. We'll have some a quality song, and we're going to get into this matter that we've begun, and that is that God fulfills His promise. The Christmas message is that God fulfills His promise. And throughout Scripture, you find that to be the case. We're talking about the Abrahamic covenant that is found in Genesis chapter 12, the first several verses. And then, of course, in 17 and other verses of Scripture as well. But we want to go to the Lord in prayer right now, and then we'll get into this matter of God fulfilling His promise. Father, thank you so much that you are a faithful God. You are the God who's in control of tomorrow as you were of yesterday. We know that we can put our confidence and trust in Thee. Now, maybe there's somebody listening today, religious, good people, and yet they're not saved. Help them to understand what it is to be saved, how to know Thee as their personal Savior, knowing that they will spend an eternity with Thee in heaven. And then, Lord, for each of us who know Thee as our Savior, may this draw us closer to Thee and just more assurance of Your care and watch care over us. We just ask You to bless abundantly the program that it might glorify Thee. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Well, I trust that music was a blessing to your heart. You know, hearing the songs and letting the words go through your mind, what a blessing to hear the Christmas music. I love hearing it. I will say one thing, even though we've commercialized Christmas, it is a blessing when you walk into stores and hear those Christmas songs being played. And so I hope that that's been a blessing to your heart. We're talking about the birth of Christ and how that the Christ coming Christmas Day, as we talk about, and we're not worried about the exact precise day, although Daniel chapter 9 gives us a pretty close discussion so far as to the year anyway. But the fact that Christ came into the world fulfilled the Abrahamic covenant that in thee, that's found in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, actually 1 through 3, but in verse 3, and in thee, God said to Abraham, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, how was that going to happen? It was going to happen by Jesus Christ coming and being that sacrificial lamb that God would need to for the covering of your sin and mine. Now, go with me back to our text, which is found in Luke chapter 1. And, of course, if you're familiar with this, chapters 1 and 2 are the chapters that enumerate the things that took place in the birth of Christ, likewise in the book of Matthew. But here in chapter 1, verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, this was a promise given there at the conception of Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary. He will have the throne of his father David. We're going to look at that in just a little bit. But first of all, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ was coming to fulfill that promise made to Abraham and to the world, that God was going to establish a land, and he was going to establish a people that would bring forth the glory to his name. The nation of Israel is not some fly-by-night nation. It is a nation that was called into existence by God, beginning with Abraham, although Israel wasn't mentioned then. Israel is mentioned when you come to Jacob, as he is called Israel. But notice the promise that God gave to Abraham, and then we're going to show you some things with regard to this. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, there's no question, no one could argue, that Abraham's name is a name that's especially throughout the Arab world and in particular the Israeli world, that Abraham is a key name. It is a name. It is their father, as it were, of their faith. And so when God said, I'll make thy name great, there it is. God took care of that. God made his name great. We don't find Abraham anywhere trying to make his name great. It is God who took care of that whole thing. How unlike you and I today. We want somebody to know us and what we've done. Abraham just went ahead and marched on the course that God had put him on. Yes, he diverted sometimes, but just like you and me. But he came back to the one reality that God had identified him as the one that God wanted to work through. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, beloved, that has never changed, and it will never change. God said, Abraham, I am going to bless thee. And when he told him he would bless him, he would bless him through his people and ultimately through his son. that in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, you see, Paul refers to this over in Galatians chapter 3. It's referred to in Acts chapter 3 in the sermon by the apostles and verse 25. You see, God reiterates this very fact that he was going to bless the world through Abram. Now go down to verse number 7. You can read in between here. But notice this. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed. Now note that. That's singular. In Galatians 3:16, Paul says, God said seed as of one, and not seeds as of many. And he says that seed was Jesus Christ. You look at that in Galatians 3:16. He says, I will give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. I tell you, dear friend, the land of Israel, they don't have anything near what they're going to have. That whole area over there in the Middle East that we call Palestine and Israel, and we go on up further, and you have Syria and those other areas. That's all Israel's land, and it will be theirs. So God says, I'm going to give you a land. But you see, all the world is going to be blessed in thy seed. Now, the only way the whole world could be blessed really is to understand, again, Genesis 3:15. I will put, God said to the serpent, and he was declaring this very clearly, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And that seed was none other than Jesus Christ. And so when you look at Galatians chapter 4:4 and 5, you read in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So it is a way in which God saw to bless this world through the seed of Abraham, the seed being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now understand something. It had to be a pure and spotless lamb. Over in Genesis 3:27, we know that God provided skins of coverings, and we had mentioned this in the last broadcast. I know. He provided skins as a covering for Adam and Eve. So something had to be slain. It was, I believe, a lamb, because throughout Scripture, the lamb of the first year is what is utilized as the sacrifice. It's got to be pure and spotless. And when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming along the Jordan there where he was baptizing, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, I'm going to give you some references. Now, I'm not going to go back to those because I want to pick up right here and look at this Davidic covenant that is also in view in the birth of Christ. The birth of Christ had to take place so that all the world could be blessed in Abraham. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, and as we mentioned in John 1:29 and also again in 36, as John the Baptist declared him to be the Lamb of God, meaning the sacrifice that God would send. We know that he was a sacrifice as we read in the Gospels how he was taken and wickedly treated and then nailed to an old rugged cross. And there he paid the entire price. I think Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15, of course, that whole chapter 9 is a great chapter, which declares to us about the death of Christ and what it meant. But also, you can look at verses 25 through 28 there in that same ninth chapter and see this unfolded, that Christ had to die for our sin. This is a perfect lamb. He is the one that came in and paid the price. You see, you, if you're saved, and I, being saved, I know I'm saved. I'm saved September 6, 1961. We are blessed in Abraham because his seed, even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world and died for our sin. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 25 is a tremendous portion of Scripture bringing forth to us the fact that Christ died for our sin, and it was according to the Word of God. And we know in Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So Jesus Christ had to be born to fulfill this wonderful fact that the world, the whole earth, the families of the earth, you see, that's not just Israel. Verse 3 is that all families of the earth be blessed. We're blessed because Jesus Christ came into this world to die for our sins. I want to urge you, dear friend, to think about this very seriously. You see, man needed to be redeemed from his sin. And when you study the book of Romans in chapter 5, you find that that sin came into the world through the sin or the willful act of Adam. Eve was deceived. Timothy is told by Paul that in chapter 2 that Eve was deceived, but Adam was in the transgression because he deliberately went against God's word. And thus the whole human race was dumped into sin, if you please. And here's the point. Jesus Christ had to be virgin born in order to pay the price for your sin and mine. He could not have the blood of Adam running through his veins. And so he was conceived of the Holy Ghost, as we read in Luke chapter 1, as is told in Matthew chapter 1 to Joseph. And he is the Son of God. In him he did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. That's why he could be a complete sacrifice for you and for me. So when you read the final chapters of the Gospels and see the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, remember that he went to that cross for your sin and mine. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So Christ fulfilled this, all of the things needed for all the families of the earth to be blessed. There are many other scriptures we could turn to. We'll not do that at this time. But I just want you to understand that that Jesus Christ is the one who paid the price for your sin and mine. And it's he who desires right now to redeem you from your sin and save you. Now, we're going to listen to a song, and then we're going to get right into looking at the Davidic covenant and what that stands for and the things that are involved around that. There are so many other things we could share with you about the Abrahamic covenant. But in order to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant, there had to be a virgin birth, someone who could be that seed for all mankind. That someone is Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Tattled on the Mountain. What a beautiful medley of Christmas songs in that. And trust that that was a blessing to your heart. Now, as we study the Word of God, and we find that not only is Jesus Christ's birth, or was his birth, the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, but we are brought to another place here in the scriptures in 2 Samuel chapter 7. A very interesting portion of scripture. So if you turn there, we are going to look at the Davidic covenant, beginning in verse 8. And not that we'll read the entire portion, it's 8 through 17 really is what it is, the covenant that God made. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, he's talking to the prophet now, the Lord is, David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. So it's going to be built upon that promise that God made to Abraham that there would be a land. He said, I'm going to give a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And so God is giving an assurance of a land. He gave the promise of the land, but then reaffirms that promise to David. And verse 11, and as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed. Again, singular. David's seed, not seeds, David's seed, who would literally be Jesus Christ, after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, partially, this was fulfilled when Solomon came on the throne and built the temple. But it's an ultimate thing that down the line, somewhere, God says, your kingdom is going to be established. There will not be the pushing around. There will not be the attempt to steal all that land over there. There's a day coming that I am going to take care of it all. I am putting a king on that throne, and it will be of your seed, David. Now, notice, you're talking here, maybe a thousand years plus ahead of the birth of Christ. And yet God is promising this. This is what I'm going to do. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Speaking of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I and my Father are one, Jesus would declare. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him. Well, he wasn't going to. But that, again, you see, in the promise of this, God is not only talking about David's offspring, and we know that some of David's offspring sin against God. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, sinned terribly against God. We know that Solomon, in the latter days of his life, sinned against God. So that was going to be the natural thing that happened to the natural seed of David. But the ultimate seed will be Jesus Christ, who will not sin and had not sinned and cannot sin because he is a very divine Son of God. And then he goes on to say, but my mercy shall not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. ever, according to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak to David. You see, the promise of David was, you're going to be settled in a land. And secondly, you're going to have a king that will reign over over Israel, and they'll come from your loins. On the next broadcast, we'll go and look at that, how God fulfilled that promise to the letter, and how it still stands today. You can count on God's word. And God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he also said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations are peoples that forget God. My friend, if you do not know him as your personal Savior, please call upon him today. If you are saved, may this be a day of victory for you, a day of faithfulness unto our wonderful Lord. You can contact us at WOTBM.org and make note, Message of Truth broadcast, and ask your question. We'll give you the help that we possibly can. And you'll not be put on a mailing list, but we'd love to talk to you as would help you spiritually. Father, take the word and use it for thy glory and the assurance of our hearts that you keep your word. In Jesus' name, amen.